The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Please be seated. Gosh, I thought it'd be easier this time around since I already worked on this once today. What in the world should I call you as I begin this sermon? I've been calling you sons and daughters of God. Took me a while back when to remember to do that, and then I've been pretty good at doing that for quite some time. I mean, there's all kinds of nouns that you are named by in the New Testament. We talked about chosen ones. That sounds pretty good, you know, to call you dear chosen ones. Or how about holy? I've been calling you saints, so you know that I call you that every once in a while. Beloved, you know, I could use that. Last Sunday, you know, we talked about how Jesus calls us little children, so I could start this by calling you little children. But, I mean, there's so many ways that we are so many names that we are called in the Bible. But I think I'll start it this way. In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Anybody ever garden? Plant seeds? Try at it? Yeah, well, I was never really good at it, but I was just the mule that the Rolofsons used. Son, spade up the garden. Okay, Dad, you know. And so I ran the shovel. And I don't know why we even tried to grow anything where I was born and raised, because, you know, I bet you I covered the garden at least half the days of the growing season because of the threat of frost. Like, what's the use? You know, planting in certain places is just not hardly worth doing. And so I never saw myself as much as my other family members got ribbons at the fair over stuff they grew. I didn't present anything because I don't have any green fingers, let alone thumbs. But I, when my wife and I got married, we celebrated 27 years yesterday. When we got married, we were in Hollandale, Minnesota, and up to 1926, it was actually a marsh. And so they drained it. They don't do that anymore, but this rich peat soil. I mean, they grew things called dicers, carrots that looked like they came out of the dinosaur era. I mean, it was crazy how big those carrots were, and potatoes and onions, and the highland farmers grew beans and corn, and it was interesting how you know, when we got married, Karen said, let's have a garden. And so I figured, oh, okay, I'll dig up the earth. And man, we were good. Gosh, everything we planted grew. It was amazing. I thought, wow, I'm really good at this. And the things we grew, it's just so much fun to think about it. It's just so much fun. So many stories. And then we moved to Louisiana. And I found out that I had no talent at all. And also, the earth had no nutrients where we wanted to have the garden. I mean, think about it. Not much was growing there anyway. And all that needed to be done to make those little seeds do what God commands them to do was more than I could handle. So I threw up my hands and, you know, gave up. And then we moved to California, and, you know, I didn't want to try. Although we grew a lot of other stuff and in our landscape. And Sun Van, somewhere along the line in elementary school, one teacher said, hey, plant these seeds at home. And so where do we plant the pumpkin seeds? So we threw them in the landscape. And our neighbors and people that walked in our area that was kind of secluded from the rest of the subdivision would just, when they would catch us, they would say, your landscape is so cool, because those vines went everywhere. And they just started making everything look so cool. And I thought, well, man, this is something we need to just keep on doing. And then the pumpkins would arrive. And I don't know if anybody ever took a pumpkin, but we'd at least get one big pumpkin out of it. And I thought that was pretty cool. But still, it's hard to grow things. I do a little walk about in our landscape, in our home here, and I think, wow, that didn't work out so well. And then I look at things and I say, gosh, I can't believe that's worked so well. And the things that I really want to work well in this North Texas soil, like some of my succulents, they're suffering pretty good. It's hard to make things grow. But we know that because we hear that. And it's interesting. We're not used to thinking of God's word as seed. But certainly the Lord, in his sermon along the shore, wants us to think about the word differently. This is really called the doctrine of the word. He explains to us how the word works and the kind of peril the word faces. And these truths he wants us to understand. And to be sure, I want you to understand something else, that there's a lot of sowing of different kinds of words going on all the time in your life and my life. Some of the things we hear, we don't want to take root, and then we're disgusted that they do, because they make us afraid, or they make us angry, or they make us bitter. There are all kinds of things that people are sowing that are of no good purpose. They are called bad actors trying to sow seeds of doubt or frustration or anger or despair. And it's amazing how those weeds can grow in your life and my life with no help on our part at all. And so, as we think about this, let me ask you this question. How are you growing? How are you growing? Now, I'll say more about that sermon title here, God willing, after a while, but it's a complicated subject. There's a lot of stuff growing in us and a lot of things happening to us, but we're gathered here today to have the Lord sow some of his seed into our hearts and minds again so that we can be blessed by his word. But that's where the devil gets into the details. In the parable of the sower, Jesus spends some time helping us understand. You know, he illustrates the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The word of God. And how important it is on his heart to share this. It's powerful. And yet the devil gets into the details. We are told here in this parable, this earthly story that contains all kinds of spiritual meaning, that as soon as the word is sown on the pathway, the devil comes and snatches it up. I mean, it's an amazing thing to think how, you know, there was a guy up in Minnesota who used to always say, the first one to church is the devil. Like, man, I'm usually the first one at the church. What do you mean, buddy? But he's right there with me trying to get in, or with whoever is here, you know. There's been a few churches since I was the first one at the church. And it's interesting, but he's actually sitting next to you. He's going to pluck the word out of your ear. He can actually get into your heart. He can pull it out of your heart. He can pull it out of your mind. He wants to snatch the word away. If that word takes root, you're going to be different. Because you know what seeds do, don't you? I mean, when you plant a kernel of corn in the ground, it doesn't come out a kernel of corn, does it? It comes out a stalk. And, you know, they say, I guess, you can have technically like 6 ears. 8 ears? Is it 6 or 8? I can't recall. I actually served among corn farmers. You know, you get 3, hopefully. And so you get 3 kernels of corn? No, you get ears full of corn. It's amazing what seed does. Now, if the seed that God has created for this world can do that kind of stuff, how about the Word of God? What do you think it can do? So the devil doesn't want it to take root in you. So he comes and snatches it away. Now, I know we'd all like to be the good soil. Amen? Come on, it's just us. And we know of some people that are pretty hard pan, right? Come on, it's just us. Amen? But are you sure? How many ways has the devil snatched the word away from you? And you're not the wiser for it because it didn't find a purchase and take root. Gosh, how many devotions have I read and I can't remember them? You know, I can preach a sermon and a couple of days later, it actually takes me a while to remember what I did. Awkward. And I get paid to do this, and I love the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the privilege to preach and teach, but there's a lot of seed that gets thrown my way, and some of it takes root and clouds out, and sometimes the devil's just in the details, snatching it away. So not only is he the first one at church or the one sitting next to you, but he tags along to pull it away. Yeah, what did Pastor preach on? Does that ever happen to you? Amen? Sure does. It's just amazing the kind of, I mean, he just doesn't want it to work. He doesn't want it to grow out its little roots. You know, sometimes I pull out things that I don't want to grow, and it's amazing the complexity of their root system that comes along with them. You know, I put the screwdriver in, loosen up the dirt, and more of the root comes. Just think about it. The Lord wants his root to be planted deeply within you, that all kinds of blessings can come to your soil. After all, we have tongues of clay, and he wants it to grow to affect our tongues of clay as well. It's fascinating. The devil gets into the details, snatches it away. And sometimes we hear the word of God, and with joy we receive it. And then someone says, well, you really believe in that stuff? And then we kind of say, well, yeah. And then we act all grown up as if we're wiser than the word. How many ways has the church in its liberalism been embarrassed about the word? Because who wants to be called a misogynist? You know, maybe we should let women be preachers. And so the church in embarrassment says, yeah, that word, I guess it's not necessary. I mean, it's just that forgiveness counts. But don't you understand that as we start discounting the value of God's word, it finally lands to the place where you're really not forgiven for that? And that's the seed of doubt the devil sows, and your own sinful flesh takes it and runs with it and makes all kinds of weeds. Think about it. For a long time, the church without apology held to a 6-day creation account. And theistic evolution was created by the church to try to make a compromise out of embarrassment for the truth of God's word. Did God really say, well, no, let's go with this and let's make this compromise. No wonder the church is such a mess with all the liberalism that has made it give up and let go of the word so things don't grow by God's design that he wants to, because we're embarrassed. How many ways do we let go of the truth to compromise, to give in and go along? No one likes to be this kind of soil, but it's the rockiness in your life and my life that certainly has problems. And yet, there's more to this challenge than just the rocky ground. Jesus says it this way. He says, "For what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word." You know, how many Bible studies do you skip? Because, you know, it's easier to go to breakfast or run some errands, because those are really important things. How many times do we say, well, let's just get busy. We'll go to a Bible study. We'll have devotions when I'm not working 70 hours a week because I'm climbing the corporate ladder. You know, how many ways are we tempted to take the position because it's more pay and benefits, and yet we forfeit all the seed that God wants to sow? Your 401k won't save you. In fact, it can do a lot of things in terms of sowing all kinds of things that you need to be saved from. The deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world. Man, we're Americans. We have all kinds of things we're concerned about. All kinds of temporal things in our lives. And the Word of God loses its priority. We'll skip this, we'll skip that. People are wondering how many people will skip church from now on because they can just watch it online. And while there is seed to be sowed and to take purchase even online, we still need the human touch because it's nice. I can't tell you how many times I have been shaped by questions of people regarding God's Word or comments they've said about God's Word that happened the old-fashioned way, FaceTime, the old-fashioned FaceTime. I'm so thankful for that. You know, and all of us are to sow the Word. What's interesting here is when I was a gardener, I made it a point to be strategic in how I planted the seed. Do you notice here that the sower just sows the seed? Our hymn before this message at the first service was, boy, is that Preach Ye the Word. Preach You the Word. Gosh, I could hardly remember the title. Preach You the Word. And it's like, it goes through the parallel. And all of you are to preach the Word. You know, sermons and Bible studies are actually designed so that hopefully you can walk away with a different word to sow, with a different concept to share, because we're in this together. I'm actually just preaching on your behalf. You've called me to do this on your behalf, not to in any way, shape, or form relinquish you from what you are doing in your own life. You have audiences you can reach that I can't. They wouldn't trust me for anything. So sow the word, preach it, share it. But there's peril to that word. There's that hard path. There's that rocky soil. There's that weed-infested ground. But anyway, sow it nonetheless. Even if the weeds look like that. Canadian thistles. More on that in a little while. It's you know, one of those things where we'd all like to be that good soil, but I'm so glad that Jesus throws the seed my way when I'm being consumed by all the weeds of worry, the struggles of wealth, and all that that entail. Such is his love for people with bad soil. How interesting it is to think that this soil condition is so different. While we'd all like to be the good soil, the truth of your life and my life is that we're all these kinds of soils, including the good soil. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. I mean, we don't even know. I mean, we'd all like to be very productive. We'd all like to see incredible benefits. There was a couple I've known my whole life in the valley I was born and raised in. And on my ordination, they gave me a little framed postcard, and it said, God calls you to the daily sowing and bids you trust him for the growing. I had that up for years, and then, you know, it didn't look right or whatever, and put it away, but when Maida died, I put her name on the back and her death date. And last time I saw Ralph, it was on Jackson Lake. Me and one of my long forever buddies went fishing where no one really goes. And I see this car and with this truck with this trailer, and we're fishing and having fun. And all of a sudden, here's this guy, this old guy coming in. And I figure, well, I'll help the guy. He didn't need any help. It was Ralph. And I said, hey, Ralph, that's you. And it was so good to see him. And we'll see him next in heaven. And I wrote the day he died on the back of that. I really should bring that out because that's the truth. God calls you all to the daily sowing and bids you trust him for the daily growing. That's hard. Man, I want to dig up sometimes the plants and see how they're doing. How would that fare? It wouldn't be fair for me to dig you up every couple weeks and see how my sermons and my teachings have impacted you. That just wouldn't be fair. I just need to trust that the Word is working. You know, that was one of the things that came out of the Reformation. The Word works. The Word brings us the faith. The Word keeps us in the faith. So sow the Word. And understand, when we talk about the Word here, and this is where liberalism has really done the church in too, with gospel reductionism. Keep in mind, the Word is both the law and the gospel. That's what we share. The law that makes us say, oh, ouch, and the gospel, oh, you're forgiven because Christ bore this. And the law that instructs and directs us so that we can have better marriages and do a better job of parenting, do a better job of working together on things. That's the Word that works. And all of it is from God. Just because the law looks bad to us because it damns us doesn't mean it's bad. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. It's the seed we need. But it's meant to be combined with the seed of the truth of God's gospel so that we also know that as the law shows us our sin, the gospel shows us our Savior, SOS. And that's what it's about. You know, when I first became a pastor, you know, I was told at the seminary, you know, preaching and sharing God's word takes a lot of work. Do your studies, be a student. I'm thinking, okay. Every minute you're in the pulpit, spend an hour in preparation. Okay, whatever. You know, thinking, okay, you know, full of fire, just ready to do it. And boy, they were right. Half of my work week, every week when I first became a pastor, I would spend 20 hours writing a sermon. I think, gosh, they were right. It was an amazing thing. And at one time, I can still see myself driving down the country roads after Sunday, feeling so good about the sermon. And then I started realizing, no, those sermons are a lot of work. And then I just felt like the sermons worked on me. And then I realized the first person I'm preaching to is me. I'm not just preaching at, I'm preaching for. And the first person that has to hear it is me. And I thought, wow, this is the way the Word works. And there were times when the sermon did me first, before I even preached it, and there were times when the sermon did me last, because I finally figured out how to preach it after I preached it. It's just crazy how the Word works, but it's all the Word working. These seeds that are planted, and they change us. And you know, it's crazy. So, certainly, we are God's field. Paul says that. It's an indicative. That's another name. In the name of Jesus, dear field of God. I mean, we'll cover that now and again. Sometime, I mean. But right now, we're this beautiful field, God's little children, with lots to learn and lots to grow in. And we know, because of the waters of baptism, we're the chosen ones. He has chosen us. And in Christ, we are holy. And we are beloved. So certainly, addressing you with those titles is fitting. But again today, we get a new one. Field of God. Paul called the Corinthians the field of God. So I'll figure it out. I'll work on it. Dear field of God. That's who we are. But there are challenges in there. The Canadian thistle, when I was a kid, my dad fought them with a vengeance. I mean, we had them all kinds of places. I couldn't believe it. They were taller than I was. And, I mean, you didn't have to even do anything. And they just grew everywhere, even now. Mom's yard is pretty distressed most of the time because she values not watering it. That's the way people in Wyoming are. But the thistles grow and flourish. And I dig them up when I'm there serving as her mule. And it's fascinating. What happens, though, as God's word takes root and works in your life and my life, is we start learning to catch these things, not Canadian thistles, but those crazy things that have been planted in our hearts and minds that grow unduly. The weeds that the evil foe sows. Now, we'll get to that sermon next Sunday. But the challenge is to understand what Paul says in our epistle reading. He says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you are put to death, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So what we're learning to do in our lives is to understand that God has given us the ability to nip some of those weeds in the bud. Now, certainly there are some thistles in your life and my life that we despair of. Man, I've got such a bad attitude. Gosh, what's it going to take to get rid of this? I guess Jesus is going to have to just chip it away as I sorrow over it. But ideally, what we learn to do as God's word has taken root is to look at those things that start wanting to grow that are no good for us. How did Paul say it? Put to death the deeds of the body. That is our sinful nature. So when there's seeds of fear happening, when there's seeds of greed happening, when there's seeds of jealousy, when there's seeds of bitterness, nip those babies at the bud. Don't let them grow into gargantuan burl oaks. Now, certainly the Lord will deal with them. He'll deal with you because he loves you and he wants you to be a field of good works. But what we're learning to do is we're learning how to get rid of those things and to nip those things in the bud because we're his field. We're his chosen. We're his little children that he dearly loves. And we are the field that he's investing the word into. And the word works. Isaiah 55, you know, for any preacher, that's the comfort, that God's word will not return to him void. It will accomplish exactly what he intends. Man, hold on to that for dear life. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. There have been times when I've preached and people have said, "Great sermon, Pastor." And there are times when I think, "That was a great sermon," and I hear crickets. "Thanks a lot." But that's the way the word works as well. And the same thing happens to you, right? You want to really make a difference for somebody and you think, "What's the use? They're not listening to me. They're getting worse. As much as I pray, as much as I try, what's the use? Sow the seed. Be reckless." That's what I love that hymn about. I gotta say it to you. It's just so cool. It's "Preach Ye the Word," hymn number 586, and it goes like this. "The sower sows his reckless love, scatters abroad in the goodly seed, intent alone that intent." Oh, I can't even read. Oh. "The sower sows his reckless love, scatters abroad." Okay. "Abroad the goodly seed, intent alone that all may have the wholesome loaves that all men need. Though some be snatched and some be scorched and some be choked and matted flat, the sower sows. His heart cries out, 'Oh, what of that? Oh, what of that?'" Yeah, we're anxious. We're anxious. We want what we share to take root. Don't dig it up in anyone else's lives. They can't stand your discerning look either when you pull them out of the earth and look at their roots. Just let them grow. Trust the Lord. So here's my little postcard for you. God calls you to the daily sowing and bids you trust him for the growing in your marriage, in your parenting, in your friendships, in your life here among your fellow believers. Just keep sharing the truth. Share the word of truth and trust him and not the outcome. Keep in mind, there are times when I've preached a sermon and people say, that was a great sermon. I'm thinking, you're kidding me. I'm still working on it. I just wanted to quit. And there are times when I think, gosh, this is going to make such a big difference. And I think, wow, it was crickets. You don't always know what you're doing in the lives of those around you. You might think they're a crop, they're a field, and yet they're hard pan. And you may think, what's the use? They're hard pan. They're a rocky field. And so you share something and you go, my goodness, I had no idea that was good soil. You don't always know what condition the person is around you. So sow the word. Share the truth. Tell the story of Jesus. See what happens. Because the word works. It will not return void. It will accomplish exactly what it has intended. And again, at the end of this message, that's my prayer, like it's been for years as a pastor. And it can be the same for you as you simply seek to share something that you know is good seed. And it's the only kind of seed that will help people with all the bad seed that they've received from those who sow with no good intent. But right now it's not about them, it's about you, the condition you're in. So as you hear this word today, as you celebrate the word that was sown in you long ago in the waters of holy baptism, as you hear the absolution, you're forgiven for Christ's sake, as you receive the seed of forgiveness and mercy and grace in Christ, who is the Word of God incarnate, the seed unlike any and all other seeds of this world and universe, as you receive Him. How are you growing? By God's grace, in many wonderful ways. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.